Our final meditation is about faith, the self emptying the kenosis of certainty. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. At noon, the whole country was covered in darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of the people standing there heard him and said, "He's calling for Elijah." One of them ran up at once, took a sponge, soaked it in cheap wine, put it on the end of a stick and tried to make him drink it. But others said, "Wait, let us see if Elijah is coming to save him." Jesus then gave a loud cry and breathed his last. We began these meditations by studying the behavior of an elderly lady, Rebecca Broomhead, who kindly looked after and cared for me when I was very young. We observed her actions and saw that her behavior was generous to others. This led us to deduce that in her activities, if her activities were generous, she must herself be a generous person. Using this model, we looked at Christ dying here on the cross, and using the early Christian hymn contained in Paul's letter to the Philippians, made from that act of voluntary self-sacrifice at Calvary, we made deductions about God and about his Christ. Their behavior tells us something about their nature. We noted that for God to become man in Jesus, God has divested himself of certain privileges and powers. Then we acknowledge that God in Jesus, in the form of man, had divested himself of certain human privileges and rights in order to submit to dying a death that would conquer death and save others. This divesting of rights, powers, and privileges, which in Philippians is expressed by the Greek word kenosis, or self-emptying, is the behavior of God and Christ, and so tells us something of God and Christ's nature. Rebecca Broomhead's generous acts point to her being a generous woman. God's self-emptying acts speak of a God and Christ who are by nature self-emptying for the sake of others. We then saw that the motive for this self-emptying was love. Surrendering my power and freedom in order to give it in love to others to exercise. If this self-giving, this kenosis, is how God is, then he is like this consistently in all things. So we traced how, within himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he made room, space, and emptying inside to accommodate each aspect of his own personality. We saw that in order to create at all, God had to self-empty some of his presence in order to give room for creation to exist. We saw he self-emptied himself of his absolute freedom in order to give a degree of freedom to the inanimate and animate world, and ultimately to each of us. He limited his powers of omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience, that we might freely exercise some of these privileges. But giving the non-human creation freedom leads to suffering both for God and for his creation. Earthquakes, floods, and other natural disasters depart from the way God would have done it if he had not self-emptied himself, but remained in robotic control. Human free will also leads to human misuse of those freedoms, bringing evil and suffering in God's created world. And we went on to say, if we want to be Christ's disciples and we want to be God's children, we need to imitate and copy God and Christ. This means we must kenosis, self-empty also. And we explored the challenges that this brings to us. But now we come to the crunch question. Is self-emptying the whole story? Following it means God and you give up force for persuasion. Leaving others with true free will means we persuade them into love and goodness, not coerce them. But the problem is that left like this, evil and disaster may last for eternity because others may never be persuaded if free choice remains sacrosanct forever. We want to know that God, Christ's, and my self-sacrifice is not in vain. That in the end, love and goodness will triumph. The same Christian hymn quoted in Paul's Philippians letter does not stop at kenosis, self-emptying. It goes on to say of Jesus Christ, therefore, that's to say, as a result of this self-emptying obedience, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus everything should bow, above the earth, in the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lordship reassumes power. The guarantee is that love, goodness, truth, will, in the end, prevail. The sign of this triumph, given in advance, is the resurrection on Easter morning. We have to take this on trust, just as Jesus, now hanging on the cross, is taking it on trust. But for him, it is an act of faith and trust. His kenosis, his self-emptying, means his human nature has studied the scriptures and the statements made about him in those scriptures, and by shepherds, wise men, Simeon, Anna, allied with the experiences of his mother in her conversation with the angel Gabriel. He places this with his own experiences and prayer life and concludes he is the Jewish Messiah and Christ of the Gentiles also. He is the suffering servant of Isaiah. He presses towards Jerusalem to die a death which will liberate, save, and free all humans for all time. Now he hangs dying on the cross. But what if he's wrong? What if he's all rubbish? What if there is no God? And if there is a God, what if he is so self-emptied a God that he can't save Jesus, that he can't ensure the triumph of goodness and defeat death and evil? And if he can do those things, Jesus is so divinely self-emptied that he has no divine certainty that he is the Christ. The blood flows from some wounds and is congealed on others. This and the dried perspiration and his own excreta attracts the flies, the very harbingers of death, as they settle on his skin. His eyes are dim, but still meet his mother's eyes. After all, he's put her through so much for the sake of his mission, because it's often others who pay the highest price for our beliefs and the journey of life that we've chosen. After all, he's subjected her to. Is her sacrifice also a wasted one, an empty one? And you, you're in no better place than Christ. If he, in his self-emptied state, doesn't know for certain the outcome, neither can you. You've self-emptied yourself to follow Christ. Where you're following him to? A dead end? An empty joke? You could have satiated yourself selfishly with so much that you desired, but you didn't. You forsook all that because you trusted Christ who trusted God. But is it true? Has God the power to ensure the triumph of goodness in the end? The sign will be the power to resurrect the firstborn from the dead. My God, why have you forsaken me? As life finally drains from the body of Jesus and his corpse hangs lifeless on the cross, he and you will have to wait until Easter morning to discover whether it's false or true. Jesus will know for certain on Sunday morning, but we are not better off than Christ in our own dying. For you and me, as we draw our last breath, it will be an act of faith when life drains from us. We will only know for certain at the second coming. For to us, his resurrection is an article of belief, not certainty. Only our personal resurrection will give us that. Until then, we can only continue to live a life of kenosis, a life of emptying ourselves.